Democrats want to lower the temperature. Here was Joe Biden the day before the Trump assassination attempt.
Most importantly, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, Trump is a threat to this nation.
Most importantly, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, Trump is a threat to this nation. The day before the assassination attempt. But they want to lower the temperature. Oh, you mean after you burn the house down? Give me a break. Everybody knows what you've done. Everybody knows. You can't hide and play the good guy now. You've gone too far, and everybody knows it. It's too little. It's too late. You did it. But let's not call this an assassination attempt. So that was Joe Biden before the assassination attempt. Here was Joe Biden right after the assassination attempt. Clip 9.
We don't yet have any information about the motive of the shooter. We know who he is. I urge everyone, please, don't make assumptions about his motives or his affiliations. Let the FBI do their job and their partner agencies do their job.
Oh, and cover it up and lie about it. Don't make assumptions about the motive. I think the motive was pretty clear. Kill Donald Trump. What was the motive? Well, you just don't know. You don't want to make any assumptions. No, I'm pretty sure we know the motive. Motive's pretty clear. Kill Donald Trump. That was the motive. Again, they caused this. So now they're saying, hey, let's not jump to any conclusions. Let's not point any fingers. Let's lower the temperature. As their finger is pointed at you, they turned up the thermostat all the way. Oh, but it gets worse. Here's the Washington Post. Last night, Elon Musk and other pro-Trump billionaires have helped shape the shooting narrative. Shape the shooting narrative. Oh, I guess they want control of the narrative. Yeah, this was a pivotal moment for X, and I'll have more. We'll get into this, how important X was in this entire deal. But they don't like Elon Musk and other billionaires controlling the narrative, shaping the narrative, which is really just the truth, and you being the arbiter with your own eyes. Here's the narrative that they wanted. Washington Post. Trump escorted away after loud noises at rally. Some loud noises. New York Times. Suspect killed and one dead in shooting at Trump rally. It was just a random shooting at the Trump rally. Just some random shooting. Just some, you know, just like a drive-by. CNN. Secret Service rushes Trump off stage after he falls at rally. He just fell. But then when Joe Biden actually falls multiple times, you know, he's the strongest president of all time. USA Today. Trump removed from stage by Secret Service after loud noises startles former president. Oh, he was just startled by some loud noises. You know, he didn't get hit with a bullet. Newsweek. MAGA responds with outrage after Donald Trump injured at rally. He was just injured. We don't know what happened. He just got injured. MAGA responds with outrage. Oh, you tried to kill the former president and the man leading in the polls. You tried to kill Donald Trump, and we shouldn't be outraged. We shouldn't be upset. And he was just injured. He was just injured. Why are you outraged? He was just injured. See why they're pissed? And by the way, I don't have time for it right now. Simone Gold shot a video from Times Square. No news in the entire Times Square on Donald Trump's assassination attempt. No news. I asked people on my X account, did anybody get a push notification? More than 2,000 responses. 95% of them didn't even get a push notification about it. They tried to cover this up. They tried to spin it. But because there's some free speech on X, we actually got the truth. And the mainstream establishment media is pissed.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements and it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt effects went way down. Then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review. Or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
The beacon of truth in a world of deceit. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Friends, I'm in the middle of Times Square, and I just got the news that President Donald Trump has been shot, and I'm completely shocked. I've heard it appears he's okay, but look behind me. I'm in the center of Times Square. There's video, huge video monitors behind me, huge TVs behind me. Not a single report on the news about the president being shot. Now, on the other side of Times Square, we're looking over Times Square. This is the center of New York. You see all those video monitors outside? Right? See all this? None of them are reporting that the president, presidential candidate for the Republican Party, has been shot. Not a word. Look at that. If anybody has any doubt about the depth of the censorship and propaganda that we are living in the 21st century, in 2024, have no doubts anymore. Presidential candidate has been shot, and not a single mention of it in the center of Times Square. All of these videos, right? All of these videos.
Thank you for reporting, Dr. Simone Gold.
Not a mention. Stay informed.
So again, this is why they're pissed off that they couldn't control the narrative. It sounds so crazy, but these are the times we're living in. It's truly Orwellian. They really thought they could sweep under the rug the assassination attempt of Donald Trump. They really believed that, folks. They really believed the power of the corporate establishment media, legacy media, that they could sweep the assassination attempt under the rug and pretend like it didn't happen and they had nothing to do with it. That's how bad it is. And so they're pissed off. And I mean, here's a perfect example. And I was talking to some of the crew about this, and they can pull up my question on X that got seen like 500,000 times last I checked. Did anyone get a news push notification to their phone about the assassination attempt on Trump? Now, I was not really on my phone at the time, and I have an iPhone that I just use for work and for browsing. I don't message or talk on it, and I just happened to have that on me, and then my personal phone was in a different room, and I get a buzz to my work phone, and it just says something along the lines of Trump falls at rally, gets escorted off the stage. So it just sounded like maybe he fell, you know, walking onto the stage or something, and he just had to get helped off. That's what the interpretation I had was. And so I said, oh, what's going on? So then I opened up X, and then it's, of course, you know, Trump shot, attempted assassination on Trump. And that was one push notification I got. Now, again, there's 6,000 replies to this question now on X with over 500,000 views. And 95% of the people are saying they did not get a push notification at all. So they really thought they could cover this thing up and sweep it under the rug. I mean, it sounds crazy, but you obviously know who we're dealing with. These people are absolutely despicable. In case you want some more evidence of how despicable they are, Let's look here at some of the responses from the legacy media. Trump is the bad guy. CNN, Trump is the bad guy. Clip 7.
I do want to say there was one thing that when I watched the tape, I found odd because of all of the heated rhetoric. And that is that after he was hit, former President Trump got up and said, fight, fight, fight. I think what we're hearing from people is that's not the message that we want to be sending right now. We want to tamp it down.
Yeah, I just know one thing on this, to that point.
They want to lower the temperature. Again, folks, they got caught. They got caught. They got caught with their hand in the cookie jar. They got caught red-handed. Now they're saying lower the temperature. They raised the temperature. Trump is bad because after somebody tried to kill him and a bullet grazes his ear, probably has hearing loss, and he's up there bleeding with Secret Service all around him, and he stands up and says, fight, in one of the most epic moments in American history. And he's the bad guy because he dares say fight after somebody tries to murder him, likely motivated by people talking bad about Trump, lying about Trump like they do on CNN. Trump, it's Trump's rhetoric that caused this. These people have no shame. I mean, we're dealing with straight out demons at this point. I mean, how can you be so committed to a political agenda like this? No, there's something more. This is an absolute death cult. This is something beyond the pale. Oh, cool your rhetoric. Cool your rhetoric. Excuse me? Excuse me? You want us dead. But cool your rhetoric. Hey, we just want y'all dead. But can you stop talking about it? Come on. Yeah, we just want Trump dead. But Cole, it's his fault. He dare said fight after he survived an attempted assassination. Here's an incredible clip from Van Jones, CNN again, clip 8.
2017, Steve Scalise, a Republican, gets shot. 2020, you have Gretchen.
Pause it. I love how he just breezes over it. Oh, Steve Scalise gets shot. Oh, hold on. Let's add a little context to this. A guy named James Hodgkinson drove cross-country, a Bernie worker, a Democrat, drove cross-country, walked around D.C. looking for the Republican baseball practice, asked people, hey, are those Republicans practicing? They said yes. He then pulled out his gun and tried to commit a mass shooting. He tried to commit a mass murder of Republicans. Oh, Steve Scalise just got shot. What about Rand Paul and getting beat up and attacked in D.C. multiple times? Oh, he just breezes over it like, oh, just Steve Scalise got shot. No. A Democrat tried to commit a mass murder. That's what happened. You didn't cover it. Just like you say, oh, Trump's to blame for Saturday's assassination attempt. Just like you say, oh, Trump's rhetoric is to blame. Just like you say, oh, Trump fell on the stage. Just like you say, oh, loud noise at Trump rally. Oh, yeah, just Steve Scalise just got shot. No, it was an attempted mass murder is what it was. It was political terrorism from the left, the modern day left, born out of the Weather Underground, influenced by Barack Obama, born out of Bill Ayers. Oh, and then he mentions, as we go back to the clip, he mentions Gretchen Whitmer. Oh, you mean the fake FBI plot? You mean 21 men involved in a fake plot to kidnap the governor? 19 of them were working for the FBI? You mean that? Please, Van. Please. And Van Jones is an admitted liar. It's kind of funny because I met Van Jones. Seemed like a totally normal guy. Probably is a normal guy. But damn, he's great at political propaganda. He knows. He knows it was a mass murder attempt at the Republican baseball practice. He knows the attempt to kidnap the governor was an FBI plot. Just like he knew Russian collusion and Donald Trump was a nothing burger because he got caught admitting it on an undercover tape. But then he goes on air and builds it up like it's real, even though he knows it wasn't. So Van Jones is great at being a Democrat propaganda agent right out of the Barack Obama campaign. So, oh, he brings up Gretchen Whitmer kidnapping. That was a Fed plot to entrap Republicans, Van. But you know that. All right, continue.
Governor from Michigan almost kidnapped January 6th. Maybe you hang the vice president. 2022, you've got Paul Pelosi. Don't forget, you also had real fears about what's going to happen to Kavanaugh. And then also, then you get to 2024. This is an exponentially rising curve of political violence being normalized. And so Donald Trump dodged a bullet, but he's not the only one. America dodged a bullet last night. America dodged a bullet, because if that thing had been a quarter inch over, you would have had an assassination. And then I don't know how this country comes back from that, because half the country would have felt that the other half.
Pause real quick and remind it. He doesn't know how we come back from that. What do you mean, come back from it? It just happened. It already happened. The assassination attempt happened. It failed, thank God. It happened. What do you mean, oh, how we come back from it? The intent was already there. The shot was already fired. Probably a stand down allowed the whole thing to happen. What do you mean, how do we come back from it? How do we come back with you lying about Donald Trump? How do we come back from you causing all the political violence? How do we come back from you lying to Americans every day? How do we come back from that? This isn't how do we come back if Donald Trump is assassinated. What do you mean, Van? They tried to kill him. There is no coming back. America sees what the left is now. America sees what the Democrat Party is now. America sees what CNN and MSNBC and the rest of you liars on television are. They see it now. There is no coming back. You did this, not us, you. And everybody knows it now. What do you mean there is no coming back if Donald Trump was killed? You tried to kill him. Continue.
Inch over, you would have had an assassination. And then I don't know how this country comes back from that, because half the country would have felt that the other half of the country took their leader. And if only a small percentage of those people felt that means we're in a war, you have millions of people ready to shoot back. And so I was proud of Biden. I thought his tone was right. I hope Trump also mentions it. But this is not just yesterday.
Biden's tone.
We've been moving in this direction for a long time, and we need a U-turn.
Because of the left.
Scott, I mean, you...
Because of the left. Not playing these games. Don't sit here and say it's both sides. Don't sit here and act like there's an equivalent of lying about Donald Trump and telling the truth about Joe Biden, who the day before the assassination attempt said he means from the bottom of his heart Trump is the biggest threat to this country. Stop it. There's more. It's just pretty stunning, isn't it? After everything that they've done, they want you to just forget about it. Can you imagine what the Democrats would be saying today? Can you imagine what the street activists would be doing today if it was Joe Biden who had an attempt on his life? Could you imagine? What about Barack Obama? Could you imagine? You don't think the riots would already be ongoing? You don't think the cities would already be burning? You don't think the media would already be inflaming it, making funds to bail out the rioters? Well, we know that's what they would be doing, because that's what they've been doing for the last decade and a half. Whether it was Mike Brown riots, whether it was George Floyd riots, whether it was Trump inauguration riots, whether it was massive Antifa riots across the country, they've already done it. And let me just take a pause before I get to the next disgusting clip. It's actually not good that the Republican Party or the Trump campaign has not released a statement something like this. We disavow all political violence. We wish nothing but the best in health and safety and security for the Biden-Harris campaign and the Kennedy-Shanahan campaign. We want to save this country politically and peacefully. Again, we disavow all violence. We want peace. We need Secret Service to make sure that Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, RFK Jr., and Nicole Shanahan get complete protection and nothing happens to them. We want them nothing but safe and sound and secure. I mean, resounding, redundant, over the top. And we all know why they need to do that. And the fact that they haven't done it says that they're still not up to, they're still not on the field yet. They're still not quite there yet. You'd think that the Trump assassination attempt would bring them to the present moment that they're in, but clearly they're still not. Now, Joe Biden just cleared his entire schedule. He had a busy schedule of travel this week. He was supposed to be in Austin, Texas today. I had a crew ready to go out there and cover it. It was canceled. So obviously, the Biden team is taking some security protocols, but really, it's probably just a nice excuse for Biden to just disappear for a week is the more likely scenario. And this is just a perfect excuse for Biden to just disappear. Good. Good. Biden needs to be as safe and sound and secure as possible. And the Republicans and the Trump campaign need to come out with a resounding call, disavowing political violence and calling for peace and saying we need to protect Joe Biden and his campaign at all costs, and we need to protect RFK Jr. and his campaign at all costs. We cannot allow anything like this to happen again. Somebody tried to kill me, and now we need to make sure it doesn't happen to anybody else. I'm really just floored that they haven't released that statement yet. And again, it just shows that even Trump having a bullet graze his head, they still can't get into the present moment. Stunning, really. But that's where we are. So, yeah, obviously the next play would be to victimize Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. And so we need to ensure that that doesn't happen. Absolutely. And blame it on Trump supporters. That's what they've wanted to do. And we have to pray for Joe Biden's safety and security and Kamala Harris's safety and security. And it's almost an insult that after Secret Service has this massive failure at the Trump rally, that they would then say, okay, RFK Jr. can get Secret Service protection. That's almost insulting. But here's you go. Here's another despicable woman on TV, Martha Raddatz, again blaming Trump in clip 14.
Also, George, we have to point out, no matter who the shooter, what the shooter's motives were, no matter who the shooter is, you are going to hear conspiracy theories going forward.
No question about that. But as you point out, those statements from J.D. Vance and Vivek Ramaswamy, of course, President Trump and his supporters have contributed to this violent rhetoric as well.
Well, absolutely, George. We were just looking back this morning at some of the things that former President Trump has said. He warned last March of potential death and destruction if he were charged by the Manhattan District Attorney. Our country is being destroyed as they tell us to be peaceful. Trump in January warned of bedlam in the country if the criminal charges against him succeeded. And of course, in March, he said, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country.
Talking about the
economy,
you liar.
That would be the least of it. He said he was partly joking and that was taken out of context.
Yep, and he
did it again. But those are indeed his words. And you have heard it from supporters as well. And supporters are certainly in some parts angry. And let's remember January 6th. In so many ways for the campaign, January 6th will probably be in the background after yesterday's event. This is a very difficult time for this campaign. I'm sure this week in Milwaukee that President Trump will highlight this. And President Biden is going to have to figure out how to go forward with his campaign and what exactly they say.
Martha Raddatz, thanks very much.
This is a punch in your face reminder of how evil the corporate media is. And no, I'm not going to sit here and play this game of lower the temperature. There is a difference between telling the truth and telling a lie. I'm telling the truth. I'm not lying about Donald Trump. I'm not lying about the mainstream media. This is a not so subtle reminder to the American people that we're dealing with. How do you even measure such evil? Are they that committed to their politics? Are they committed to something beyond politics? Secret societies, blackmail rings? Are these just like soulless ghouls that hate you and want death? Are these aliens in human skin suits? How do you explain that? How do you explain the response from the mainstream media to blame Donald Trump? How do you explain the response for these people to pretend like they aren't the ones that upped the rhetoric? They aren't the ones that raised the temperature. And now they just want to say, oh, let's all calm down and be friends. How do you even explain that? It's all over the place. I mean, I got more evidence. Here's a Democrat in Texas, Gene Wu. Hard to serve a prison sentence if you're dead. That was in 2020. He then doubled down in May of 2024. I will be vindicated, insinuating Trump would be dead. Despite the assassination attempt on Saturday, The New York Times still published this on their Sunday opinion paper. He failed the test of leadership and betrayed America. Voters must reject him in November. It's Donald Trump on the cover. They just can't help themselves. They just can't help themselves. Here's Stephen Woodrow from Colorado, Democrat. The last thing America needed was sympathy for the devil, but here we are, calling Donald Trump the devil. How about Democrat Pam Keith in Florida? I've seen videos of assassinations of political figures since I was a kid. Kennedy, MLK, RFK, even Reagan. I've never seen one where the crowd starts cheering and chanting and the target starts grandstanding. Ever. Trump's grandstanding. How dare Trump grandstand? How dare Trump stand up? You know, how dare Trump live? How dare Trump have breath in his lungs? That's what they're really saying. How dare Trump say fight? How dare Trump stand up? How dare Trump grandstand? How dare Trump raise money? How dare Trump go to the RNC? Why don't you just say what you want to say? How dare Trump live? How dare Trump live through an assassination attempt? How dare he? Just say it. Just come out and say it. Quit hiding. We all know what you really mean. We all know what you really want. All right, my guest joins me now, Andrew Rideau, ready to go here. Andrew, I got 2 minutes left in this break. I want to get into the security failures with you following this break. But before we get into that, you know, I've been reviewing the response from the mainstream media and the American left here. How do you measure this? How do you gauge this? Pretending like they aren't the ones that raised the temperature in the room, blaming Trump for nearly getting shot to death. I mean, how do you, what are we left to think about these people?
They're sick, right? They are completely ignoring the fact that, as you were just saying, the last couple of years, they've been talking about, you know, taking out Trump, putting a target on his back, taking him out behind the gym and beating him up. You know, you even go back to Kathy Griffin with an image or a fake Donald Trump head cut off. And they're speaking to their constituents, right, where, you know, we have an epidemic here in this country where so many people have undiagnosed, untreated mental health issues, and they're putting this narrative. And then you have mainstream media and a lot of, you know, liberal technology companies amplifying this, not allowing for alternative, you know, facts, news, or stories to get out. And so you create this echo chamber to a, you know, group that isn't really capable of discerning and putting in proper steps and bounds. And so, you know, I think that the Democrat elected officials that have been feeding into this over the last couple of years, the mainstream media and technology companies, they're all partially to blame for this, right?
Yeah, I don't think that's a stretch at all. And the fact that they're trying to cover it up so bad and point the finger at everybody else and say, hey, whoa, whoa, you know, come on, lower the temperature, all that stuff. That to me shows that they know they're guilty. That to me shows that they know they've been caught red-handed by the American people. They're covered in blood, and they're trying to cry innocence now and point the finger and say, no, not us. It's the most obvious thing I've ever seen. All right, we're going to be right back, and we're going to get into some of these security failures with my guest, Andrew Rideau, who knows a lot about advanced security. He's worked with President Trump before with big events like the one in Pennsylvania. He's done international trips as well. That's coming up on the other side. Folks, I got so much important news to cover. I barely plugged. Remember, InfoWarsStore.com. That's what funds this operation. That's what allows me to have the great crew behind me making this transmission even more powerful. Visit us, InfoWarsStore.com. The Save InfoWars Mega Sale is live right now, InfoWarsStore.com.
This is a make it or break it moment, so I need people to connect those synapses in their brain for you to make a decision. If you don't support InfoWars, we will be shut down. And people say, well, they're constantly trying to shut you down. How are you still in the air? God. But God works through people. So we're in a paradox here where the judge says we're open for 3 more months. If we're able to get a buyer under the law, they won't be able to shut us down. I'll just work with somebody else. And that's coming. That's got to be set up. But in the meantime, if people believe the news that we're being shut down everywhere, which they tried to do and failed, by that foregone conclusion, we're shut down. And under the last federal bankruptcy manager who would not reorder product and killed all our advertising, who was positioning us to be shut down and tried to shut us down. We caught him. The judge caught him and fired him. We're almost sold out of all the products. All right? But we have a lot of great products that are still in stock, limited supplies. So I need you to go to InfoWarsStore.com. And we just had a donation button. Maybe we should just do that. You're fighting for freedom in a key election, battling the globalists. We need support. But we want a long-term relationship with you. We want to be symbiotic. We want you to get great products you like, get them delivered to you quickly, and enjoy them and have them empower you and make your life better so you love them and you keep getting them. We want a relationship. So there's the InfoWars MD line that I don't talk about enough that is all the highest quality, whether it's turmeric or whether it's natural sleep aid or whether it's saw palmetto with other compounds that are great for your prostate, also great for women's breasts. It affects the same type of tissues that have those hormonal fluctuations. I'm not a doctor, but I read the literature. You need to go to InfoWarsStore.com and go to the sections that have the whole line, over a dozen products, InfoWars MD. We've got Ashwagandha Gummy. Relaxes you, makes you feel really relaxed with no downer feeling. Amazing. An incredible product. Good Night Sleep. We have a lot of great sleep aids. This one's excellent. They're all different formulas. People love it. Good Night Sleep. InfoWars MD. Ashwagandha with black pepper, which relaxes you and makes you lose weight. These are all concentrates. Joint Relief Max works really well. Great pain relief. Huge bottle of it. You know, jam-packed. It's there. Joint Relief Max. InfoWars MD. Prostate support. Already mentioned that. This is just a top formula. Super high quality. Organic. Nerve Renew. Amazing. To get your nerves, not to kill pain, but to get your nerves healthy. Nitric Boost. Vitamin Refusion about to sell out. About to sell out. Real Red Pill Plus. And something I never talk about and should talk about more, Probiotic Fiber. A super high-end product at a low price at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you all for your support.
Is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
All right, joining me now is Andrew Rideau, the CEO of Liberation Technology, liberationtech.com. He has been inside the executive office of the President of the United States with Donald Trump. He's been part of Strategic Insights and Operational Excellence, over 300 presidential trips, including international ones. And so he knows a little bit about what it's like going on the road, dealing with advanced security and everything else. Andrew joins me now. Let's just get into some of the basics here to start. From watching everything that went down Saturday and then kind of reviewing all the different angles, all the different aspects, I mean, have you reached a conclusion of what you think went down? Where are the most obvious strategic failures dealing with this? Could any of this even be a coincidence? Andrew Rideau.
Well, I think partially and first and foremost, you know, President Trump's security detail is vastly understaffed. I have from, you know, good, reliable sources that are still on the team that they have sent multiple requests over months to get additional resources, additional assets. And normally, you know, you would have multiple counter sniper teams, multiple post standers, you know, for that building to be so close and technically considered dirty, right, outside of the security perimeter is mind-boggling, right? And you know, we have seen and heard from the Biden director of Secret Service and from DHS that they're now saying, oh, yeah, well, we'll ensure that both President Trump and RFK Jr. will now receive Secret Service protection. They were essentially looking past the fact that there's a great concern, a great threat to many of these candidates, and they were essentially weaponizing their own security as such, right? There are many things that you look at this event, from line of sight blocking to, you know, agents being on the roof, you know, uniformed officers securing the ground level of that building. I think that unfortunately it was just a under-resourced event, and, you know, primarily due to their requests being denied.
Now, what do you know about certain specific protocols? Because you have a lot more experience and knowledge of this, but I mean, isn't getting to the highest ground kind of a specific protocol? I mean, isn't finding the highest ground and the highest vantage point for an event like this, specifically when you're outdoors, flat land, kind of wide open? I mean, wouldn't you think getting the high ground for that point of view would be a guaranteed strategy?
Well, yes and no, because it is only one part of the equation, right? You had one counter sniper team. From some of the reports that I've seen, a tree might have been obstructing the exact kind of area that that gunman found himself in from the counter sniper team. But normally you would have multiple counter sniper teams ensuring that there are no blind spots, ensuring that there is full coverage. So if they're, you know, the team that everyone is focusing on, if they're not able to see or adequately identify the individual that is on the roof, they would be able to have a second team look around that obstacle to tell them, yes, this is a friendly counter, another counter sniper team, or no, this is a real threat to the president.
Well, and if you look at the images here, and I've kind of marked this up a little bit, but here's another overhead shot. There was definitely a tree that would have interfered with at least their immediate vision. It kind of depends on where the shooter was stationed. But nonetheless, that's why, like you're saying, you think that they would have multiple perspectives on this. They certainly, it's not like the building popped up overnight. I mean, the building was there. They knew it was there. They even had warnings that there was someone climbing on the roof.
And from what I hear, that counter sniper team was only approved, you know, less than 36 hours. Normally they're out there days in advance, being able to conduct a full audit, you know, call out any concerns, tree lines, buildings, things like that, being able to request additional assets. But, you know, from what I understand is, you know, these individuals weren't entirely sure who was on the roof, right? There was maybe a thought that it could be one of the local PD counter sniper teams coming up to assist them, since they've been making multiple requests. So they don't want to just go and start pulling the trigger. You know, they're very trained and disciplined in that fact. But if their view is obstruct, they can't tell if it's a friendly or foe. You know, that makes it incredibly difficult, especially only having really one set of eyes, let alone, you know, normally in this situation, you would have a, you know, response team that is tied directly into that counter sniper team. And if something is called out, that response team is immediately going to investigate, right? And it sounds like there was a breakdown in coordination and manpower and a lot of different things, unfortunately. And, you know, that is what is going to happen with a Secret Service that is continuously understaffed, under recruiting, and, you know, a narrative in this country that is demonizing Republicans and President Trump.
Well, you bring up something here that, again, this is hard to believe. And you know, I've worked with some security teams here from being in the media and traveling, and we've had great security here at InfoWars. I'm very grateful for that. We've had a couple moments even where there was a potential situation with me. And, I mean, my team got me out of there quicker than Secret Service got Trump out of there. It's hard to even believe, considering the high-value target that Trump is. How is that possible? How is it possible that there wouldn't be communication? Like, they wouldn't know how many sniper teams there are? I mean, it just seems impossible to me that they would sit there and say, wait a second, is this help? Is this our support? Is this a local guy? And they wouldn't know that going in. It seems almost unbelievable to me.
Well, from what it sounds like is they were hoping someone was able to break free, come to the event, provide them that additional resource. And likely they were probably speaking with their command post, trying to figure out, who is this? Is it one of our guys? Is this a real friendly, right? And unfortunately, it seems like there was a breakdown in communication because local law enforcement, they're not on the same channels as Secret Service. And, you know, there's not that direct connection. Normally, that's not an issue, right? Because Secret Service has such a wide footprint, both of the stage and the entire venue. And then law enforcement is providing those additional exterior rings. But it sounds like they were so understaffed. Mind you, this is at the directive of, you know, Mayorkas, of the director of United States Secret Service. You know, if they're denying these requests and, you know, these agents on the ground are saying this is what we need to adequately do our job and that request is getting denied, well, then it's an issue with the head of these entities, which we already know have issues.
Yeah. And I mean, the fact that Kim Cheadle didn't resign and hasn't been fired is beyond despicable. I mean, Mayorkas should have been impeached a long time ago, but that's a different story. He's already made a public statement today. It's almost insulting. RFK Jr. gets Secret Service protection 2 days after they almost let Donald Trump get assassinated. It's almost insulting to him, but nonetheless, that's what went down. Now, what do you know about, because to me, this is kind of the big mystery to me that'll maybe give us a little more idea about what to think as far as the shooter's actions. How long is it typically that the Trump team announces a rally to the public, or do you even have specific knowledge about how long they've known about this rally or when this rally was announced to the public?
Not sure exactly when it was first officially announced. You know, it can be anywhere from a couple of days to, you know, even a week or two in advance. And that really depends on securing the venues, getting the contract signed, you know, putting the groundwork in place. I'm not too familiar with, you know, how long the advance team was on the ground in this specific situation. But, you know, protocol would say at least 5 days is a normal average for all the events that I've done in the past.
Well, and the reason why I ask this is I kind of, you know, I look at the shooter's actions and I say, well, he had, I mean, to me, and we can get your opinion on this, but to me, he had to have some prior advanced knowledge to plan this. I mean, to know that there was a ladder there or to place a ladder there, that'll be a big question. Was the ladder permanently there? Did he know it was there? Did somebody put the ladder there? Did he put the ladder there? He obviously knew. I mean, to me, he obviously knew that he could get a shot by climbing that ladder, getting to that vantage point, maybe even knew he had a little cover from the Secret Service sniping team because of the tree that was there. Not to mention there was a crane, there was a speaker, there were bleachers. I mean, so to me, it seems like this is not somebody who just that day says, okay, I'm going to go show up and I'm going to know exactly where to go if I want to shoot at the president. And also, it's not even... I mean, even if he heard the rally, let's say they announced the rally a week in advance and he decided he was going to try to do something then, even then, how would he know the layout of everything? He wouldn't know the layout of everything to go even scout the area to decide where to go.
Yeah, I would bet now that we have access to, you know, his cell phone and everything, I'm going to guess that he was around the day before, potentially placing the ladder, but guaranteed, you know, poking around the venue, you know, being able to see the layout, potential vantage points, things like that. I mean, it's an unfortunate reality, but these venues, up until Secret Service puts in the corridor, which is normally the morning of, you know, anyone can technically come up and walk around. There's nothing that is necessarily preventing them if there's not a gate or a fence or something that we can lock and secure it with. And so, you know, it is not uncommon that I would find, you know, excited supporters coming up a day, 2 days before, you know, asking questions and wondering where they can park and whatnot. But, you know, this is something that this individual would have had access and the ability to do relatively easily.
Well, and I imagine that, I mean, I guess it's an assumption at this point, but you'd think there would be some security cameras there as well. I mean, after all, that is a business that operates right there. It wasn't the farm business. It was a glass company. And some other people are looking into that ownership and that building. I'm not even going to get into all that today. But, you know, you'd think that there would probably be some security footage of this guy if he was there early, you know, kind of scouting out the grounds. But, I mean, you know, like you were saying earlier, I mean, there's usually a Secret Service advanced security as well. I mean, sometimes even a stakeout for days and days before to get a total secure vision of the venue and make sure there isn't anything like that. Do you think there wasn't that for this?
Well, I believe that there was still a advanced team that went in. Now, the better question is, you know, how many of those representatives, because under Secret Service, you're going to have your folks from the counter sniper team and the other specialty assets that are there as part of the advanced. You know, were they given adequate time? You know, if they are short-staffed and President Trump is ramping up, you know, do they have a compressed advance compared to what is normally advised? You know, were all the representatives there that needed to be to look at different angles and vulnerabilities? You know, I think that, you know, until we get a real investigation into this and hopefully a fully transparent one, it'll be hard to say where was the ball dropped and by who. You know, I think that there are some things that very easily could have been done to help mitigate this. But I think that in general, it was a breakdown at the top level of the United States Secret Service, because at the end of the day, you know, they should have had enough manpower for the agents to secure that building and that asset.
How do we have at least 2 minutes? This is just what is on video that we can say in confidence that the public identified the would-be shooter 2 minutes before he fired the first shot. He was identified by the public. 2 minutes, they were shouting at the police. It could have been longer than that. That's just the video evidence that we have, that it's at least 2 minutes. How does that happen? How do we go from the public saying there's a man with a gun climbing onto the roof, right there he is with the police officer on the video, and still no communication? I mean, they could have at least just got Trump off the stage at that point. I mean, and just say, hey, Mr. Trump, we might have a security problem. Just please get off the stage and then we can resume the rally. I mean, where's the breakdown there?
Well, I think the breakdown would be in their ability to quickly identify, is this a friendly or a foe, right? You know, I've experienced it plenty of times before. All of a sudden, a local cop pops out of somewhere that he shouldn't be, but he's trying to get a vantage point of not only the president, but maybe of the venue. And so, you know, it's sometimes very difficult to quickly identify someone in that type of situation. Plus, you know, if you think about the officers that are on the ground, they have to find, how did this guy even get up there? So now they're maybe running around this building looking for the ladder. I've heard a couple of reports that say, you know, one of the local officers did climb the ladder. And when he poked his head over, the gunman turned around and pointed it right at him and then proceeded to fire at President Trump. So I think that, you know, more than anything, we need to go in very informed. We can't just initially jump to conclusions. I think that we do need to understand, you know, when was he engaged? Was he engaged by the local law enforcement on the ground? Why did it take so long for them to verify it? I'm sure the local PD was radioing back to the operations center, and, you know, they were asking each department, is this one of your guys? Is this one of your guys? Trying to figure out, you know, is this individual supposed to be there? Is he law enforcement? Because the last thing you want to do is accidentally shoot, you know, a member of law enforcement that just may be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And, you know, unfortunately, it is something that we do see happen every now and then. Folks get really excited, especially even law enforcement officers, to see President Trump. And they just want a great vantage point to get a quick photo or something so that they can share it with their friends and family. You don't want to accidentally shoot someone that's acting in that type of situation. But I think that overall it was a breakdown in communications and an overall security protocol. But something that I think, you know, by the denied request, it's something that, you know, Trump's detail has been concerned about for some time. They wouldn't be asking for those many individuals unless it was critical to secure the different venues that they're going to.
Well, and, you know, the crew is putting up some of those stories, some reports saying he didn't use a ladder. Some saying the police had to be vaulted up onto the roof. I mean, to me, if that story is true, and it's just hard to know what's true and what's not at this point, and unfortunately, I don't trust that we're going to get any truth from the FBI or the Secret Service, considering what an absolute failure this was. But that just makes it sound even worse. That just makes this whole thing worse, that an officer even ID'd him. I mean, it's just like, how and didn't even shoot? Didn't even take him out then?
I mean, maybe if you're at a weird vantage point or you don't have a clear look at the guy, you might not know. But I mean, one look, you can tell the guy's not in law enforcement. I mean, it's not a police rifle that he's got. He's not wearing any law enforcement. I mean, I know there's undercover guys, but the whole thing is just gets worse and worse. I feel like the more we find out the security lapse.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the biggest thing, the piece that is odd to me is that building was not considered to be part of the security perimeter. You know, it wasn't something that was taken out of play by putting visual barriers in place. You know, it's something like that. There must have been a staffing issue or some logic why they wouldn't actually go and secure that roof. In a normal situation, there would have been a counter sniper team on top of that roof and law enforcement securing the perimeter of it. So they were either understaffed, not, you know, able to put together a comprehensive plan, whatever it might be. And I think only time will tell. But at the end of the day, you know, a lot of people really need to review what happened, where these breakdowns began, because the teams are on the ground ahead of time. They should have been able to identify that this was a big vulnerability. And at the end of the day, you know, those at top of, you know, DHS and Secret Service need to be held accountable, because if they denied these requests and this is the outcome, well, the blood's really on their hands.
It's an incredible thing after Benny Johnson says that Trump needs to have Secret Service removed, that this happens. Benny Johnson with the January 6th committee said that Trump should lose his Secret Service, which is, I mean, again, and then you see what happens today. I think it gives us a better idea. At least somebody maybe wanted him dead that might have some control over this. My guest is Andrew Rideau, liberationtech.com. Again, he's worked with President Trump's campaign before going on these things, so we're getting his insight into what went down. Moving forward, obviously Trump flew out to Milwaukee the day after, and of course this is after a round of golf, if you can believe that, and is already in Milwaukee for the RNC. Do you think Trump continues to have rallies like this? Do you think he kind of puts a hold on rallies like this? What do you suspect President Trump is thinking?
You know, I think that they're definitely going to review, you know, what's going on. I don't think that, you know, Saturday or Sunday of this coming week we'll see them holding another event. But I do think that the rallies are one of the greatest assets that President Trump has, because it allows for those constituents, whether, you know, strong Republicans and supporters for the last couple of years, or, you know, those undecided or Democrats that feel alienated by even their own party, gives them the ability to come out, completely circumvent, you know, the news outlets and their narratives and their, you know, drive and vision. You know, it allows for him to speak directly to the people and to tell them, you know, this is why I'm doing it. These are the issues. You know, this is why what I'm saying is so important. This is why, you know, reelecting me is vital to the prosperity of this nation. Without that, you're going to have, you know, CNN and ABC and MSNBC taking 30-second sound bites from an hour and a half video or event and chopping it up to say, well, Trump's just a fascist and he's a dictator. And that's exactly what we've seen up until this point. And so, you know, losing out on that, I think, would be detrimental to the campaign. Now, I think they need to be prepared and evaluate how can we do this in the wake of this weekend's events in a more secure situation so that the president is never exposed to such a, you know, close call. But, you know, I believe that President Trump in due time will return to the rally circuit.
You know, if I was Trump, I'd be looking at venues that he knows he can be secure in, whether that's, you know, indoors, arenas, outdoors. I don't know if he'll feel comfortable doing one of those or if Secret Service will feel comfortable unless they want to try to set him up again. But, I, you know, this is just me kind of thinking in my own head here what I would do. If I was Donald Trump and I wanted to be strategic about having my next rally, I'd go for a blowout rally. I'd call up my friend Jerry Jones, and I'd say, hey, Jerry, what do you think about AT&T Stadium? AT&T Stadium has had a Super Bowl before, so they have security protocols on how to deal with a big event. And I would just press – I'd call it the biggest rally of all time. You can get over 100,000 people in that dome. I think Jerry would probably be happy to do it.
you know, especially considering the circumstances. I wouldn't go to the Hard Rock Hollywood Stadium in Miami after what we saw yesterday. They couldn't even stop the soccer fans from scaling the walls and breaching the building. So I hope that he's very strategic, but I agree. I think he needs to stay on the rallies as much as possible, but be really selective about the venue.
Well, and I think that, you know, this is an opportunity to kind of return back to the arena. They do provide their own complexities, but I did Howdy Modi when Prime Minister Modi and President Trump did a joint event at NRG Field in Houston. And I think we had something like 114,000 attendees. You know, the president has attended multiple college football championships. He's attended UFC fight nights. Those security protocols are still in place, even at those events that aren't necessarily rallies. So I think that, you know, President Trump can not only go in and fill a 20,000 person hockey arena. I would love to see him go to, you know, Jerry World and pack that thing out even more. And I think that he can definitely do it. And it, you know, it gets people out of the elements. It gives the president a lot more controlled space to operate in. And I know for, you know, the threat analysis, it helps really mitigate those issues.
Yeah. And at least you have kind of a controlled environment where you at least assume you can kind of decide who's inside and who's outside the building. And if you're not in the security perimeter, then you're not necessarily a threat. Whereas when you're outdoors, like that event that Trump was nearly killed at, I mean, you're looking at a situation where people could be hundreds of yards away outside of the security protocol, and you're kind of left out there, you know, hoping that nobody has a sight line. But we just saw a massive failure. All right, Andrew, I appreciate your time here on InfoWars today. What are your closing comments?
Well, I think that at the end of the day, hopefully we can kind of cool down some of the political narrative here in this country and, you know, really just talk about the facts. Here at Liberation, we're focused on ensuring that everyone has their First Amendment rights so that outlets like yours aren't suppressed like they maybe are on some of the big Silicon Valley companies. And, you know, if we can actually begin to communicate, agree to disagree, realize that everything that the news is feeding us isn't necessarily 100% true. We need to make our own informed decisions. We can get this country back online. But I think that at the end of the day, you know, it's a blessing that President Trump came away with technically only minor injuries and that this wasn't a much more severe situation. But I also believe that now the American people realize what the left is doing, and I believe that it will only include and add to President Trump's massive victory this coming November.
And the evidence of that is all around us. I've got some more proof coming up in the third hour. Andrew, thank you so much for your time today. God bless and Godspeed.
Thank you.
All right, folks, when we come back, I've actually got evidence of exactly what he said. And I'm going to make a big announcement on the other side that I think is going to be very important for the current audience listening to hear. Don't go anywhere.
To you about what's happening now. InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
Back down.
Do you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump and you ain't black?
Always talk about how I don't have the black support. Come on, give me a break. Come with me. Watch.
I got a lot of that. I got hairy legs. That turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I love kids jumping on my lap.
Do you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump and you ain't black?
I don't care if he's pooped his pants.
My butt's been white.
I don't care if he can't put a sentence together.
The total initiative relative to what we're going to do with more Border Patrol and more asylum officers.
President Trump?
I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either.
Show me he can't do the job, and then I'll say, okay, maybe it's time to go. Yeah, Biden had a bad day, but this guy couldn't tell the truth if it split his lip.
What did Trump do? Why?
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.